Hogan, we're coming for you, nigga.
Yakuza. Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio. Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock. Listen, listen. This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
That's Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird. Boom.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, homie. Fuck that. Black D, out.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Lawrence cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Thursday, November 10th, 2011. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, and with me as always is my co-host, Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Yakuza!
Yakuza? So what's up, man?
Yeah. What's going on, JK? How you been?
Rough week, man. You know, I guess I'll start this off and, you know, clue everybody into what my deal is and the reason why I did not watch Raw, and I'm probably going to be off my game and whatever, and it, you know, maybe a shorter episode, but, you know, I'll do what I can, and Monday, I lost my uncle to, on the same day, in the same way that we lost the great Smokin' Joe Frazier. And, you know, he passed away on Monday to liver cancer. And, you know, it's been a rough week. It's been a rough week. So that's why Raw had zero playing time on my TV this week. I just couldn't invest myself in it. You know, get myself up to decide to go out there and, you know, review a show that upsets me week in and week out. You know, I mean, my favorite stars from the week before were off the show, which is the Muppets. And, you know, I mean, the only guys that are, you know, as old as they are and still got it in the wrestling business. So, and you know, I just couldn't do it. So, anyway, you know, we're going to be going over all the indie shows, the, you know, the CZW, the IWA, IPW, all of that stuff, and all the upcoming stuff with Dragon Gate USA and CZW coming up this weekend.
It's going to be fucking, it's pretty much a huge, last weekend and this weekend are like the two big fucking weekends in wrestling this year so far.
Well, yeah, I mean, they are definitely some pretty big weekends. I mean, for the Midwest, you know, they definitely got some big, big shit. You know, Mid-South area, whatever, out there. Indiana, I mean, they got some tremendous shows, you know, 2 days of just bangers, you know. And, you know, there wasn't that many people, but as far as the first show I'm going to talk about.
You fucking said that.
I mean, what can you do, you know? But, Yeah, hopefully we'll much more people. The East Coast will definitely blow that shit out of the water, and you know, we'll have to see where it goes from there. First show I'd like to talk a little bit about, and maybe go over the results, is the IWA Mid-South show that they did on Friday night. Show started out, you had, for starters, they had 40 fans in attendance.
How many?
40.
For IWA?
IWA, that's coming from, like, their own message board and stuff like that. So, generally, you know, when people gather together to talk about the company, they generally try to pump up the number. I'd imagine they were pretty honest about this one. I'm not going to, like, accuse them of pumping that up at all.
Maybe it was less. Maybe it was, like, 20.
Yeah, I'll just go ahead and give them 40 fans and call it a day, because I don't, you know, that's really not that.
Can we count? I want to count this week. We got to count how many people there was.
Yeah, well, so anyway, they had the show. Opener was Joey Grunge defeating Smokey C with a powerbomb. I don't know who either of those two people are.
I want to know who this Smokey C guy. I don't know. I never heard of this guy before. Fucking, he sounds like a real winner, though, I'll be honest.
Well, he was a loser in that match. And next up we have...
Well, fuck it. God damn it.
Yeah. Neil Diamond Cutter defeating Danny Havoc, Reed Bentley, Marcus Crane, Scotty Vortex, Alex Colon, and Latin Dragon in a eight-man match? I think there's eight people.
Yeah, crazy fucking thing.
Seven-man match. Yeah, seven.
That Neil Diamond Cutter has been... You know, his name's been popping up numerous places. And
I don't know much about the guy, but I've heard that he is actually pretty impressive. I am going to, you know, pick up the King of the Death match, and I know he's on there. So, you know, I'll see some of his stuff and go from there. Chris Hall. Don't know who that is.
Wait,
but he
Chris
beat a
Hall?
Guy.
Chris Hall.
Chris Hall.
Is he related to Scott Hall?
We can hope not. However, he beat a guy that we both know, and that's DJ Hyde. So,
DJ didn't get the fucking victory. I wonder how pissed he was going to be. He's probably like, no, I'm not doing this shit no more.
All right. Who knows? So, off of that, went into the huge match of Drake Younger, first time ever. Defeating Matt Tremont in Barbed Wire Madness. First time ever one-on-one. Sure, that match was ballistic. So,
I bet.
Then you had Bucky Collins, who I don't know who that is, beat Simon Says to retain the light heavyweight title. There's a lot of Mid-South, you know, names and stuff that I don't know shit about. So, I mean, they could be a lot of big talents that are going to be upcoming. Hopefully we'll see on the East Coast if they are. I don't know. But it's, you know, a lot of guys we know, and, you know, a few that just really don't. So, well, then you had a big, quote-unquote, grudge match, and Devin Moore beat B-Boy. So it's good to see B-Boy back in the ring. Yeah, it's good to see B-Boy back in the ring. Well, I didn't see B-Boy back in the ring, but it's good to know that he's back in the ring. And, you know, him and Devin go way back, you know, whether, you know, through the good and the bad. And I'm sure they put on a good match out there, so...
That was a Yakuza Kick Radio special.
Yeah, right. Smart Mark Video.
Fucking Yakuza Kick. We don't want to fucking set up the goddamn match. If we didn't tell Devin would have been like, no, B-Boy would have been like, oh, okay, I don't care.
Who would have been all right. So then your main event, you had Jimmy Jacobs and BJ Whitmer defeat the team of the Necro Butcher and Masada in the main event. So,
wow, good fucking match.
Yeah, another match I definitely would like to see. Just seems like a real, you know, styles clash. And obviously, you know, we've seen some of those guys in the ring before. Probably came off pretty well. I'd have to see him. Masada's just beating the shit out of people these days, so I'd love to see what happened with him and, you know, and
Danny
K in there, and you know, Jimmy Jacobs in there and that type of thing. So probably pretty entertaining.
I want to know how many people got paid.
I don't know, but 40 paid fans is not a big payday for anybody out there. So the next day was the big Insanity Pro Wrestling CZW doubleheader. Just run down the card real quick, results real quick. Isaiah defeated Aaron Epic. This is the afternoon show, the Insanity Pro Wrestling show.
Aaron Epic is a guy from Florida. I know that name real well.
Okay, I don't. But Isaiah beat him. I hope to see Isaiah back in CZW on the East Coast very soon. Jeremy Hadley defeated Sugar Dunkerton.
Okay, that's a Billy Rock student. Jeremy Hadley is a Billy Rock student. So.
Well, that makes sense. He's from out there. The Messiahs of the New Age, which is Dustin Reyes and Ricky Shane Page.
And I know who Ricky Shane Page is really well. He's been up here in the East Coast.
Okay. Defeated the Young Studs, which is Eric Ryan and Bobby Beverly.
Okay.
DNA, which is Doug Charles and Aaron Extreme. And the Kentucky Buffet, which is Matt Cage and Alex Castle in a four-way tag team match.
Okay, yeah. I don't know about those two fucking tag teams, but that Kentucky Buffet sounds like they're fat as fuck, so one can only assume.
Oh, Jesus. Next up, you had Jesse Emerson defeat Pa Nation. Next up,
Ooh.
You had a match, Uha Nation.
Oh, Uha Nation, okay.
Yes, yes. What other nation were you thinking of?
Oh, the Nation of Domination.
Ah, or the Nation of Intoxication.
I would like to see the Nation of Domination versus Nation of Intoxication. Imagine Farouk and Danny Havoc. Well, Rob Simmons would go, bam! Anyway.
Alright. Next up, you had a big match of Remy Wilkins, Sue Jackson, Clark Connor, Stitch Cypher, and Reed Bentley defeated Dave Crist, Alex Colon, Dave Davidson, James Avery, and Simon Says.
That first set of people are all Insanity Pro Wrestling students trained under Billy Rock. So that's where Remy Wilkins guy. And these guys only have 1 to 2 years experience under the belt. I know Remy Wilkins is actually 9 months in the business.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yeah. He looks, I don't know, he fucking has a weird-ass look to him. Like, I was actually, it's funny as hell, because I was actually looking at Insanity Pro the other day, and I was like, what the fuck is Billy Rock training these fuckers for? I know Billy Rock very well, you know. Used to talk to him on a regular basis. And...
Well, that's cool. Next up, you had The Madness Chris Hall. Who's that Chris Hall guy again? He defeated James Reeves.
Okay. I hope it's not related to Christopher Reeves, but that's not a... That wouldn't be a good thing.
Yeah.
I need to cut it with the comedy hour.
Yeah. I wasn't aware that was comedy, but okay. Next up is three more matches we have on this card, and these matches are names that are really strangers to nobody if you're up on the independent scene. And that next match is A.R. Fox becoming the new IPW Junior Heavyweight Champion when he took the title off of Ricochet. And
wow.
I'm sure that match tore that shit up. No question about it. Those guys are two of the best high flyers in the business right now. And, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that when that comes out. Next up, you had a three-way dance. And I believe... Oh, it was actually a world title match. This was the Insanity Pro Wrestling world title. New champion, Jake Crist, defeated previous champion Sammy Callahan and BJ Whitmer in a three-way dance. So your new Insanity Pro Wrestling World Champion is Jake Chris.
Along with being the Wired Champion in CZW.
Right.
So you got two belts.
Then you had in the main event, the return of Scotty Vortex after severing tendons and their ligaments or severing shit in his fingers and going through surgery and all that shit, that crazy stuff, you know.
Paid by DJ Head, by the way.
Right. Scotty Vortex came back and defeated Drake Younger in a Fans Bring the Weapons steel cage match, which, again, I'm sure tore the fucking house down. So that's more or less what went on there. Pretty big stuff. So now, on to the night show, which was the CZW show. More or less happened there. It started off with an 8-man scramble elimination match, which was Simon Says, Stitch Cypher, Aaron Extreme, Sugar Dunkerton, Isaiah, Aaron Epic, and BJ Whitmer, and Alex Colon came out on top. So,
okay.
That's a lot of names again. They're packing a lot of people into these matches this weekend. It's like in a 25-man scramble. Like, oh, all right. How about it? Next up, we had that. It was a 6-man tournament, and they were supposed to fight, you know, one-on-one all the way, you know, 3 matches, and then the finals would be a 3-way dance this coming Saturday at the CZW show for number one contender of their junior heavyweight title. However, that kind of changed recently. So what happened was Ryan McBride beat the Latin Dragon. Jonathan Gresham beat Drew Gulak. AR Fox defeated UHA Nation in a match that supposedly stole the show. These guys have definitely wrestled before. When I originally looked up UHA Nation, the first thing I saw was UHA Nation versus AR Fox. And it was, you know, it looked like one of those empty arena matches because it was an indie fed that had no fans. So,
actually, it was a training match at WWA 4, which was the school that AR Fox and UHA Nation trained at, and I've seen the match too. And it was pretty much just a training match just to show people what they could do in the ring.
Okay. I thought it was an IWA Mid-South show with the crowd.
It might have been. Nah, IWA Mid-South has like 3 fans. It's not even, like, IWA Mid-South claims they have 40, but they really have 3. But that's, you know, different story for a different time.
Right. And then in an ultra-violent rules match, Sami Callihan beat DJ Hyde.
Oh, yeah, this is that fucking match. I hope that match never happens again.
Right. Then you had in the Messiahs of the New Age of Dustin Reyes and Ricky Page defeated the Irish Airborne of Jake and Dave Crist. So that was that. And an open challenge for the CZW World Heavyweight title. Devin Moore retained his title against 2 people answering that challenge in Scotty Vortex and Drake Younger.
Wow, so he went over Drake and Scotty. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
Super push for Devin. How long is he going to
the world title?
I want to know how long it took him to get to the ring. 6 seconds? 5 seconds? I want to know.
Guys, right, I don't know.
This weekend it'll be 4 seconds, maybe. He'll be fucking sprinting. His fucking music won't even hit the, won't even fucking start. He'll be in the ring.
Right. So then the next match was the main event, and it was a barbed wire madness match, but it also had gusset plates.
And
for those who saw the match between Danny Havoc and Masada with the gusset plates, you know that these are one of the most dangerous fucking things you ever see in a wrestling match. These things are like these guys fall into these things, and it's like a lion attack their back. Like, you just see these huge gouge marks that just drag as long as they move on those things. They get gouged. And Matt Tremont was the one who brought the severe gouging from the pictures I've seen on online. He's got some lines across his fucking back from taking those gusset plates. But according to reports, Matt Tremont legit knocked out the Necro Butcher. The four-way match was Matt Tremont, Danny Havoc, Necro Butcher, and Masada, the Ultra Violent Underground champion, and it was for the title. So they're saying that Matt Tremont knocked out the Necro Butcher, and then Masada retained the title against the remaining group. So I'm sure that match was extremely, extremely violent. And another one of those things, you're going to want to go out there and get that DVD when it comes out, because, you know, it's the kind of thing that people pay to see CZW for, that type of stuff. So, you know. Let me see. So, I mean, that was that weekend's whole you know, shows and the things that went on there. Guess I'll just, you know, go straight into the next thing that happens, and that's this coming weekend, and you have the doubleheader of Dragon Gate USA and CZW. I will be attending both shows. You know, Eric will do half of that or something like that. You know, dedication. I'm in much need of some entertainment, you know. So I'm very, very much looking forward to this Saturday.
And you get to see me. You get to see a good old me. And so that's part of it.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, I mean, Dragon Gate USA is going to be the afternoon show. It's going to be some pretty big shit. They got, I don't really even know how to, like, the way that they list their matches are ridiculous to me, so I'm more or less just going to, you know, read them. But, what the fuck is an Open the Freedom Gate title? And then
that's what the title's called. That is what the title's
right.
called.
But then there's an Open the United Gate title. I guess
that's
tag titles.
That's the tag titles?
Yeah, that's the tag titles. Open the United Gate is the tag titles. Open the Freedom Gate is the world title. So
The world, that's not the world title. That's the Open the Freedom Gate title.
That's not the world title. That's the what?
That's Open the Freedom Gate. There's no world title. There's Open Freedom Gate and there's Ultimate Opening, whatever the fuck is gate. I have no idea. Fucking, there is no gate in fucking Philly.
Open all these goddamn gates. I don't know.
Where the fuck are the gates going to?
Fuck, man. Anyway.
Like, there better be $1 million. There better be $1 million at the end of the road. I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to fucking start yelling. Like, at the top of my lungs. Where the fuck's the goddamn money? Jesus Christ. I'm tired of shit.
All right. So anyway, here's gates, and the Freedom Gate match is going to be Yamato defending against Chuck Taylor. The United Gate tag title match, John, is Seema and Ricochet defending their titles against the undefeated team of the Dirty Ugly Fucks, which is Sami Callihan and Eric Cannon. I'm looking forward to that quite a bit. You have a South Philly street fight in Sabu versus Pinky Sanchez.
Ooh, and I'll be there. I'll be marking out for that shit. Hopefully he gets his ass kicked.
Right. Now they have like four matches, and they just list this, like, I guess they're running with a theme here where it's Dragon Gate USA homegrown roster versus Dragon Gate veterans match. Number 1, 2, 3, 4. So, whatever. You got Johnny Gargano versus B.B. Hulk, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Hulk in the, you know, in person and stuff like that. He's a very, very impressive. You know, he's got his little style there. He looks like a woman, but He's a very fucking impressive wrestler, and I'd like to see him in the ring. And I think Johnny Gargano will be a great opponent for him to be in there with, and should showcase his styles quite a bit. Then you have Brody Lee taking on Pac, who, man, that is another guy I can't wait to see. I've never seen that guy wrestle live. Very hugely impressive dude, and it's very exciting. Next up, you got Rich Swann versus Akira Tozawa. Another banger. I mean, I'm telling you, this card is solid. And then you got A.R. Fox versus Masato Yoshino. And then they have a live event bonus match. And this will be a match that starts at 5:05 for all ticket holders, featuring UHA Nation. And they're not saying who he's fighting yet until after the show that goes on the day before. We will be attending the show on the 12th, but to kind of do it as backwards and just let everybody know out there, even though, you know, that's not the way you're supposed to do it. If you're in the Massachusetts area, you know, Revere, Massachusetts, the day before, they will have another show, and it will be a no-rope, no-DQ, non-title match of Yamato versus B.B. Hulk. You will have a fray, as they say, which is two competitors. Another enters every 2 minutes. Eliminations anytime by pinfall, submissions, or DQ. Sabu, Pac, Ricochet, Rich Swann, A.R. Fox, and UHA Nation is the group of wrestlers. You will then have Masato Yoshino take on Akira Tozawa. You will have Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano take on Seaman Brody Lee. You'll have John Davis take on Sammy Callahan. You have the other part of the DUF, and that's Eric Cannon and Pinky Sanchez take on Scott Reed and Khalib Conley. Yeah, that guy. And then, again, they have a bonus card that's from Top Rope Promotions, Ryan Waters versus Brandon Webb, Jason Blade versus Matt Tavern, Lexus versus Luscious Latasha, and that's what you got there. So that's the whole Dragon Gate scene for the weekend. The night of the 12th, 8:30 p.m., you will have Night of Infamy. And that's going to be a pretty big show, I think it will. You will have, we'll start a little around the bottom. You have the Blackout taking on the Runaways, and it will be Ruckus, Alex Colon, and Rich Swann with Robbie Marino taking on the Runaways of Joe Gacy, Ryan Slater, and an unknown participant with Kimberly at ringside.
Who do you think it should be?
I would probably guess Niles Young, so that way I can vomit earlier in the show. You have UHA Nation taking on Aaron Extreme. Don't know Aaron Extreme, but like I said, we had talked about UHA Nation, kind of looking forward to that. So you have a fantastic booking, and just a true testament to like what it is to be a wrestling promoter in Greg Excellent versus Mia Yim.
I know you're being sarcastic with that.
Well, you know.
Who the hell are you shooting at, though? That's the only thing. Are you shooting Greg?
Just promoters.
Okay. Well, booking
Mia
Yim is okay, fucking Booker. Mia Yim.
Oh, Mia Yim's great. Yeah, they should actually bring in fucking female talent for her to wrestle instead of
like
fucking Sumi. Greg Excellent. You know, oh, did, you know, hey, man, you know, hey, what do I know? Nothing. Nothing at all. Anyway.
They just think you're a fan. That's what they think.
Well, you know, that's that. It takes me off track when I talk about things of this nature. You have a tag match of Campaign for a Better CZW versus Nation of Intoxication. And that is Drew Gulak and Mr. Tofiga taking on Danny Havoc and 13.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's gonna be like the Boar Fest. I fucking, that's gonna be like one of those matches that, I mean, either gonna run the angle really good, maybe they'll run into Cage of Death. I don't know.
Oh, how nice. Yeah, that'd be just phenomenal. Well, I think Danny Havoc is taking on Tremont at Cage of Death, so.
Well,
they had set that up months ago. Well, I hope they fucking don't, so we can get a fucking good match out of that. I don't need, you know, a technical wrestler fucking rolling around with fucking one of the best deathmatch wrestlers in fucking CZW during Cage of Death. I just don't think that would be a great fucking, you know, outing. I mean, Danny and Drew wrestled each other before on CZW, and honestly, it was fucking a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Fucking, they really did some quick move and reversal shit. Obviously, it's not what you're used to seeing out of Danny Havoc, excuse me, but they really pulled together a good little fucking back-and-forth match. So, I'm not, you know, putting it past these guys to put out a good effort. And I mean, if you're gonna load up and say, okay, Danny Havoc is locking up with Drew Gulak, imagine what Mr. Tofiga is gonna do to 13. So, could be entertaining. I'm not gonna count it out. Now, this other thing was supposed to be the number one contender match for the junior heavyweight title. It was supposed to be Ryan McBride, A.R. Fox, and Jonathan Gresham. Apparently. Sometime either during or after the match this past weekend, Jonathan Gresham suffered an injury. So
again, he keeps getting hurt.
He will not be able to compete, and they will update us on what's going to happen, if it's going to be a one-on-one, what's going to happen there. But as of right now, we only have A.R. Fox and Ryan McBride left out of that three men. So we'll see what comes about. I'm sure they're going to make some kind of announcement. Or, well, knowing CZW, it'll probably be the night of the show, and we'll find out what goes on there. We'll just have to see. Next up, you have Philly's Most Wanted of the Black G's and Joker defending their CZW World Tag Team Championships. And, they'll be taking on the number one contenders for six fucking months or so in Azrael and Bandido Jr. So, yeah.
Actually, it was only in August.
Well, it feels like 6 months ago. So, either way, they'll be doing that. Kind of overstretched out, in my opinion.
Who goes over that match? You're the booker. Who goes over in that?
Philly's Most Wanted. Azrael and Bandido, although they're really talented wrestlers, and I like them personally, like, quite a bit. I think they're, you know, really good guys. I think they can actually be utilized better. And quite honestly, I don't think they're over. So, Philly's Most Wanted is over as Monster Heels. So, I mean, to just slap it on Azrael and Bandido for a different look and stuff, they didn't build their characters enough. They didn't build anything up around them. Even like spot wise to get, you know, to gather them a following off of doing, you know, some kind of spots that really gathers, you know, the South Philly crowd's attention. Like I said, I really like these guys, but, you know, what's over is what's working. And then that's the type of thing that you got to do. I think, you know, you're going to do this.
What
Philly's
about
Most Wanted.
Devin's not fucking over as a fucking world champion. What the fuck's he the champion for? Like, he's in the same position as fucking Azrael and fucking Bandido. Agree?
But he's the DJ's friend. So, yeah. It's kinda.
That's why he gets the title. Yep.
Yeah.
Let me be honest with you. I'm gonna bring it up now. I have to bring it up. I'm getting pissed. You know, we see a bunch of people from CZW and fucking Dragon Gate. Where the fuck is Rich Swann in the Dragon Gate show? And where the fuck is the Dragon Gate guys in CZW show?
Well.
Where the fuck is the Gargano? Where's the Chuck Taylor at? Where's the fucking Dirty Ugly Fucks at? Where's those guys at? CZW. I haven't heard, unless you're about to say something, and they're like, Dragon Gate 4-Way or something. I don't hear it. Hello, DJ? You there? Yo, DJ, get these fuckers on the show. Like, you got them in the building. Like, what the fuck?
You're not going to hire a guy who laid his life on the line for this country so that you could go home to your lesbian partner and live in a judgment-free society? I think you are hiring that guy.
Yeah, dude. I think you are. So anyway, next up we have...
you're ignoring me. What do you think about that? Like, they're not using any of these Dragon Gate guys. Like, what the fuck is the problem? Like, what the hell?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Obviously, they should be doing this type of thing. In the past, it's happened many a times where CZW runs doubleheaders and they come off with the short end of the deal. They gain wrestlers, they gain fans, they gain everything, and as far as CZW, they gain nothing. Not only that, if the fucking Dragon Gate card goes off too hot and, you know, the crowd fucking burns out, then guess what CZW crowd's going to sound like at night? Guess what that fucking crowd is going to fucking sound like at night? This is, you know, more or less the sum of it. That's what happens, and this is why I hate fucking doubleheaders. I hate it. Hate them. And they are on such a doubleheader hard-on right now, it's ridiculous. They are doing fucking, they did a doubleheader with fucking Insanity Pro. Immediately a week later, they're doing a doubleheader with fucking Dragon Gate. And then fucking not even a month later in December, at their biggest show, Cage of Death, they're fucking spinning around and doing a big fucking indie summit, fucking, you know, Big Japan, everything else, fucking cram that shit in there. So, again, by the end of Cage of Death, now you're going to pack more fucking douchebags that never show up there before, which is great for fucking tickets, but in the same token, you're going to hand a lot of fucking sales to people who are going to make everybody else there really fucking uncomfortable with being the biggest douches in the world because they show up twice a fucking year. But anyway, that's fine. You sell tickets. You can't fucking, you can't really screen these people's personalities before you show up. But anyway, they're packed fucking doubleheaders. It's really hard to turn down. I got to bite the bullet and go to fucking both of them. But either way, my opinion, bad fucking move. And, you know, when it comes to the afternoon shit and you got these guys who they don't give a fuck about CZW. I mean, you can say what you want to say and, like, you know, hopefully, you know, all of this stuff, like, is like not even a factor, you know, like after the shows it's going to be like, wow, those are two really good shows and the crowd is really into it for 8 fucking hours and, you know, that whole bullshit. But when it comes down to reality and what's logical, it's not logical. You know, the crowd, I mean, unless you got fucking, a couple hundred fucking 12-year-olds in the crowd that just fucking run around all night like fucking, like the Energizer Bunny and shit, then there's really no way that the crowd can stay into it. I mean, you can yell, oh, come on, guys, fucking stand up. Let's get up, yeah. Let's fucking do all the spots you want, do whatever the fuck you want. But in the end, you can't run fucking 7 hours of wrestling and expect grown-ass fucking people to just be fucking running around, zipping on fucking Red Bull or whatever the fuck you guys are doing. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And again, I mean, you guys are piling on fucking doubleheaders right before fucking Christmas. So that's a good sign of people who don't have fucking children or don't expect any of the fans to have children, because it's really fucking hard to pull off. It is.
Right.
You know?
This is ridiculous. I don't know why DJ fucking does this shit.
Yeah, and then, there's different months of the year. If you're the guy running the fucking company that's pulling in the money and feeding your family, that's just fucking great. But all the people you expect to come out there, it kind of runs your month pretty thin, and it's a bad month to do that. There's so many other months of the year where there's nothing going on, and they're like, we're saving our doubleheaders for fucking Christmas time. God, how nice of you. Jesus Christ. So, again, you burn out the fucking crowd, and I've watched it a million times over where there's a great fucking lineup booked, there's a great fucking couple guys in the ring, the crowd ain't doing shit, and they ain't doing shit. And I personally think that's a complete fucking issue with wrestlers to begin with, because, when fucking Mid-South is running fucking 40 paid fans, those fucking 40 people can't make enough fucking noise. I don't care what nobody says. So when you got 500 or something and they're being kind of quiet, you can't turn down your fucking performance in the ring or fucking let up on it. You can't do it, But I've seen it happen a million fucking times, and you watch it happen on either one of these shows, especially Cage of Death, because let me tell you, they ain't got no fucking build-up. Angle-wise, they have dropped the ball all year long on building any type of angles towards their big show. They ain't got shit going. Nothing. So, and if you think DJ versus Sammy is going to be the big payoff match, no one wants to see fucking Sammy tied to fucking DJ's leg for the biggest fucking show of the year. Nobody.
They're gonna run a CZW versus Big Japan Cage of Death. That's what they're gonna run.
Well, yeah, but honestly, they haven't even built towards that. Other than doing Masada, and maybe I guess if you check out the Germany shows and the England shows and stuff like that, you could kind of build off of that. But I mean, they should have had months long of guys cutting fucking promos on the Japan guys, on guys calling out the Japan guys, the guys doing that type of shit and building some kind of stuff around that. And they haven't, straight up. Like, Ito didn't come out. Like, if they wanted to do it right, Ito fucking gets into the main event with Masada. But how about before he gets into the main event with Masada, he comes out there and attacks a couple fucking low card guys. And just drills a couple low card guys. You know what I mean? So it's more or less like an attack on the company. And then they do the same. You good?
You there?
What's going on? Yeah, you drop kicking your phone? What are you doing?
No. I'm not fucking. I just got a fucking text message, and I was fucking trying to take care of it because it's about Saturday. And, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So anyway.
That.
Yeah. So what I was saying is, like, if they had fucking Ito come out and just destroy a couple low to mid card guys before the match, again, I don't really know what the fuck you're doing.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry, I had to finish sending a message because I was in very big danger of not going at all this weekend.
Oh,
all
right.
But I had to pull the trump card on that, so I had to take care of business. Sorry about that.
Right. So, yeah. Like I was saying, if he attacked a couple guys, fucking low to mid-card guys, built himself up even more, because, honestly, for a guy like Ryuji Ito, who's never been in CZW, before, and all the fucking deathmatch marks that there are around there, he got fucking very little reaction. Like, that shit is uncalled for. You can't not build up these fucking guys. Like, I don't understand. Like, they more or less, they book the shit, they put it on paper, they fucking, execute it, but then they just fucking put it on fucking cruise control, sit back and go, why aren't the fans dying laughing? Or why aren't they marking out to this? Why aren't they fucking doing this? Well, there's no build. There's no build. There's no fucking promotion for it. You get, like, one fucking crazy-ass promo out of Masada, where he rips fucking Ito apart. But that, I think, was like a month and a half before the fucking actual match with him and Ito. So that was premature as a motherfucker. and then nothing between there and there. And it was just left open, like, all right, you guys better get ready. But so I'm all for Big Japan versus CZW. I really am. I think that's a great idea and all that shit. But I just don't see where they've actually built to that whatsoever. They haven't built any, like,
sometimes you,
building
sometimes you just
theater.
Have to do it, you know?
Yeah.
I know it sounds terrible, but sometimes you just got to fucking run the fucking thing, you know? Sometimes you just got to fucking do it, you know?
I guess. Yeah. And
I mean, the match would be fucking awesome. I mean, you got Ido. Is Jun Kasai going to be there?
Yes, he is.
You fucking got Ido, Kasai, fucking Numazawa there. On them fucking three versus fucking, you know, I don't even know. Spend the fucking money. You're going to get money back, you know, on tickets.
Are you?
Agree?
Well,
agree or,
we'll see.
Agree or disagree?
Well, we'll see, because, I mean, shit. I mean, yeah, they haven't announced anything, but still, as far as CCW Saturday, you're only attending one of the two shows. So that's not really a proof positive that people are going to show
well,
up
hey,
because those guys are in the
hey,
building.
When you don't announce big fucking matches and you got to work on a Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I just read some shit that is fucking hilarious. Previously, I was upset, kind of disgusted that they're bringing in Dan Shoko Dino on the Indie Summit. And do you know who that is, Eric?
Is that the gay guy or no?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I know who that is. I've seen him before. I've seen him before in Jakarta.
Okay. His
you know
arsenal.
What's funny? Real quick, I'm going to say this right now. Everybody keeps saying, oh, CZW is an innovator at bringing these guys over. No, fucking Chikara brought all these fucking people from Big Japan 3 years ago. So for all
they don't know what to
do with
Big Japan talent.
They had fucking...
Big Japan's
fucking,
a hardcore company, and they ain't got shit to do with hardcore.
Well, I'm just
so
saying,
it's like a,
Chikara
it's like
did
the,
it first. Chikara brought seven guys over from Big Japan. They brought in fucking Numazawa. They brought in fucking Ido. They brought in... Who else did they bring in? They brought in fucking Sakimoto. They brought in all those guys. They gave fucking Kudo fucking opportunities. They gave all these Japanese guys... Like, anytime I fucking ever heard of a Japanese guy, like, I heard him through Chikara because they brought in Chikara. And, like, they were like, oh, okay. Like, Miyawaki, like, I've seen fucking numerous Japanese guys. Kota Ibushi, fucking Chikara. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
but, I mean, all the stuff you're saying and stuff, I understand in that, but, like, in my opinion, it's like saying fucking, you know, Florida Championship Wrestling brought in fucking CM Punk first. Like, you know, come on, dude. That fucking company is not set up to handle fucking deathmatch wrestlers, and they just bring them in, hey, work a basic match. We spent a shitload of money on you to, like, have you do what you're not even famous for. Like,
no, I agree. I agree with what you're saying, but, like, you know, a lot of these guys are like, oh, we seen them first. Like, no, Chikara brought them first. Like, just give credit to Chikara, because they had a good relationship with Big Japan for a little bit, and they had guys coming over to Big Japan and doing shit with Big Japan, and... You know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I think DJ's not getting anything. You know, DJ's getting talent over there, but I want to see how it's going to be very interesting how this little Mondo thing.
But what I was saying about the.
Sorry, I cut you off. I was just, you know.
What I was saying about Dan Shoko Dino. For those who were unaware of this guy, he is a hugely homosexual-based wrestler from Japan, obviously. He does moves such as the cock bottom, where he grabs the guy's cock and gives him a rock bottom. He does a pipe cutter, which is a stunner with him holding the guy's cock. He does, like, dragon screw leg whips to the guy's cock. He does... He does a finisher where he puts the guy's head down his fucking speedo and pile drives him. Yeah, brutal shit. Brutal, brutal shit that I just, I don't know. I really don't know what the fuck. Either way.
So what'd you hear? What happened with
his whole arsenal. But the fucking guy is booked to wrestle DJ Hyde. I am now all of a sudden a fan of this.
Oh,
I don't
that.
Know. I just fucking checked that shit for the cages at the Indie Summit or whatever, and I'm just like, ah, who the fuck would ever write? You would never see Black G's in the ring with this guy.
No, you would, but you would see an ass kicking of severe purposes.
I don't know, man. But EJ is going to be. Yeah. Yep. DJ's come out party. Hell yeah. DJ's come out party. December 3rd.
Literally.
Dan Shuko Dino versus CZW owner DJ Hyde. Yeah. Yep.
Get your tickets now.
Yeah, get your tickets now. Yep. Well, what can you do? It's
I bet you that Stephen guy would have been happy if Sabian was booked against him.
I honestly don't think he would. I just don't think he'd work it. I think he would definitely have talks with people in the locker room, just to say that he was not really willing to, you know, willing to do that. I'm putting words in his mouth. Next time we have him on, I'm definitely going to ask him, you know, if he would work that dude, because I just could not imagine. Like, you'd have to be screaming no homo from fucking, from bell to bell. You'd have to wear, like, a no homo t-shirt and shit. Just fucking wear, like, one of them Chikara costumes so, like, you can't even grab nobody's shit. Big ass fucking bunny head or some shit.
Yeah, like Hulk a bunny.
Yeah, fucking goat costume.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, yeah, that's that. That's all the this weekend stuff going on. Oh wait, no, I don't even think I can do that whole show. Jesus Christ, I got all sidetracked. Anyway, no, Sami Callihan will be taking on Adam Cole for the junior heavyweight title on Saturday, and that is supposedly his last shot at the junior heavyweight title. If he doesn't win it, he doesn't get another shot. Da 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 da.
And why the fuck is he getting a fucking junior heavyweight title shot? He should be getting a world title shot.
Yes, that's very true. Very, very true. Yeah, CP Monk. So, then you got the World Heavyweight Championship. Your guy, Devin Moore.
Fuck that.
Answering the challenge of CZW Ultraviolent Underground Champion Masada. Man, these guys have wrestled before, Tournament of Death and other times as well, and Devin has worn the crown of skewers several times, and I don't think this match is going to be much different. I'm sure it's going to be pretty brutal, and, you know, Devin Moore, he's managed to hold down to that title for a long time now, and
if
history repeats itself, he will
hold on to it more.
Once again. So we'll see, man. He's gone through some pretty tough dudes. So
yeah,
we'll have to see. So that actually is all of our stuff there, you know, with the you know.
So who do you think is going over, Devin Moore or Masada?
I'd say Devin Moore because it's too good to be true. I don't think they would give the fans that. They have some, like, incredible hard-on for Devin, and I don't really get it. Again, like I've said it a million times, I like Devin. I like him as a wrestler. I like him as a person. I like all that shit. Personally, I don't think he should be world champion, but, you know, I'm not the fucking booker, so whatever works for them, works for them. I just... I just don't see the reason for it. I don't see the intensity or enthusiasm out of the guy. And if that's the way you're going to go out there, then you shouldn't be holding the biggest title in the company. You know, I just
When your entrance is last 6 seconds, you're fucked. Like
what?
6 seconds? I said when your entrance lasts 6 seconds, that's not world title material. Like, you should have like a long entrance, like.
Well,
imagine BJ Whitmer, he fucking walked out to the fucking ring in 6 seconds. I counted it.
Yeah.
Like,
all right. So that's that. That's the shows for this weekend. I'm going to replay something I've played before because I really didn't upload any new shit. Like I said, bad week. But play some Drunk Kurt Angle, and we'll be back in a minute.
Ultra Fiber DX from Angle Foods. This is the kind of stuff you need to feed to your kids. And not only that, but the Ultra Fiber DX, the powder, the flour, thank God it works as a cooking agent. You can make it in pancakes. You can make it in pizza dough. You can make it in bread dough. You can make it in... There's so many... we're going to come up with a... a book of recipes so that people can, use the Ultra Fiber DX. It's an incredible product, and thank God we became the only distributors in North America to carry it. And it has been so successful. It is actually, right now, thank God, it's the number one selling best fat loss product in America. And it was meant to lose weight for obese patients, especially around their waist and hips, which is the most important area.
I know a lot of our listeners are in New York City, and I know you guys have been putting all the Angle Foods and the GNCs in Manhattan and everything, so that's a great way for people to get that food and really up their training regimen, whether they're in wrestling, MMA, just looking to lose weight. I've had the Angle Food line in my gym in New Jersey for about a year and a half now. We had you out at the expo last year, and it's something that's never going to hurt anybody. It's only going to help them.
Yeah, you know what? We've done a lot of deals, and thank God we're not just going to supplement stores. Now we're going national. We got grocery stores, retail stores. It's really expanding, thank God. And, you know, we just have a one-of-a-kind product that nobody's ever come up with, and we're very blessed to be in the position that we are. It did take a lot of time and effort and a lot of money, but you know what? Anything that's going to be highly successful is going to take a lot of time and effort and money. But thank God we got it controlled, and now it's a matter of launching it and getting it into retail and grocery stores, getting it into supplement stores, and really pushing our dry and frozen products. You can always go to KurtAngleFoods.com or BarnDadNutrition.com, which is my subsidiary company that's underneath Kurt Angle Foods. But both of them have incredible products. It's food that people will normally eat, like pizza, bread, other meals like chicken and brown rice and salmon and vegetables, but it's a really great product. So I'm very happy to present it to anybody that wants to live a very healthy life and not have to take out some of the good foods that they like to eat, like pizza. We're even coming up with some incredible desserts.
Yeah. There you go. There's some Kurt Angle for you. Derek.
Derek. Yep.
All right. Said I didn't watch Raw. What was on that show?
Raw was horrible. It was in Liverpool, England this week. So.
They were what?
I said they were in Liverpool, England this week. And, it was fucking a crock of shit. It was horrible. I watched 10 minutes of it, exactly. I watched the opening part, and then I got tired of it, and I turned it off. But, yeah, I got results right here. In front of me. So we'll go with some results, something, blah, 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 do that shit. So the opening part of Raw, give me 1 second. Having problems with the fucking computer. Okay, so basically opening, you know, Cena came out, fucking got booed, came out, fucking said he wasn't happy because, like, The Rock wasn't going to be there. Fucking talked bullshit about Awesome Truth and said tonight he will team with a future Hall of Famer. They came out, they fucking, you know, fucking started talking and they're going to beat Cena and Cena talks too much shit and blah, 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 blah. And they mean business, they're not a joke. Fucking guest comes out to save Cena. Zack Ryder.
How's that? What do you say, stupid?
Yeah. So Cena was talking about that future Hall of Famer.
Wait, you said Zack Ryder?
Yeah.
I don't like your jerk-off name. I don't like your jerk-off face. I don't like your jerk-off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk-off.
Okay, go ahead.
So that was that. The first match of the night, I was surprised that shit, John Morrison defeated Dolph Ziggler in a non-title match.
John won a match. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. That's unbelievable. That is just something else. You know, I'm not gonna overhype him. I'm not going to get ahead of ourselves and talk about playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
You know? But, hey, a win's a win.
Mason Ryan defeated JTG. It was a squash match.
Of course he did. Of course he did. That's just what he does. Takes steroids and squashes people. You know? I don't like that guy.
Alberto Del Rio defeated Kofi Kingston. Ricardo got a fucking chant. They're fucking chanting him. They were chanting Ricardo.
They did?
Yeah, they were chanting Ricardo.
That's good.
CM Punk came out to make the save. And Punk said Del Rio was stale. When people watched Raw and DVR, they fast forward and know that they haven't missed anything.
Keep it up, I'm a nigga.
Just like you, fucking on your DVR. You fucking fast forward and
That's what I do. That's what I do.
Punk was shooting. Jack Swagger defeated Santino with the ankle lock.
Uh-oh. No Beaker this week. That sucks.
But I did watch that, right? And I was dying laughing. Swagger's music hits at the end of the match. They're still showing Santino's fucking Titantron.
So
the graphics were up.
They played the wrong Titantron?
Well, no, because Jack Swagger won. They had Swagger's music, but Santino's fucking graphics.
So they played the wrong Titantron?
Yeah, pretty much. They played the right music, but the wrong Titantron. I don't know.
Botchamania business right there.
Yeah.
All day.
Kelly came out and talked about fucking being on Maximum Magazine. Dude was a doom and interrupted, calling her a Barbie doll and such things. Even Alicia Fox came out to help. And the good girls revealed the picture of Kelly, whatever. Kevin Nash came out, and this is where it gets boring. Something talks about the history, whatever.
God help us, Jesus. God and baby Jesus help us.
R-Truth and The Miz beat John Cena and Zack Ryder.
So wait, what did Kevin Nash do?
Oh, he fucking just talked about the history with him in Triple H.
Oh.
That's it. And, R-Truth and Miz beat Cena and Ryder. Cleanly.
Fucking bullshit!
Clean finish.
Huh?
I said clean finish, too. It was a clean finish.
Ah, well, they should have.
Miz beat him with the fucking kick to the face.
Nah, they should have kicked him in the face several times.
Yeah, maybe in the...
This bullshit, man! Motherfucker!
You know? They should have kicked him until he didn't show up ever again.
Yeah, that was wrong.
Oh, that's great.
You gotta get excited. You gotta get excited. Come on.
What?
You gotta get excited.
Oh.
I want to hear a promo from Reggie about our show. Why don't you play that, too? Yeah, well, that's what I think about that shit. It's so boring.
Put that cookie down!
I don't know.
Jesus!
Alright, so I gotta bring up something. And
actually,
right. There's no sound effects on this one. Because it's a serious thing. And, listeners in the fucking chat room and...
Hulk Hogan, we're coming for you, nigga!
Yeah.
Oh. I thought that was it. No? Joe, what do you got?
What was that?
No.
Okay, so it was in a forum, and it's a former Chicago student bashing the Wrestle Factory. And it's a long fucking thing.
Okay.
And then we'll go into football because there's game going on right now.
So what was that? So what?
So this guy, it's a Tumblr. I don't know if you've heard that thing called the Tumblr.
Isn't that for gay people?
No, the Tumblr is like, I don't know what the fuck. But this guy, it's called The Journey of Chris Vacanti, and it's a Tumblr. And he fucking posted, "Do not join the Chicago Pro Wrestling Factory. This is more easily said than done, but everything I'm about to inform you, readers of this blog,
what
will be as..."
What Halloween costume did he portray?
No, he was a student. He didn't even get on fucking...
He didn't come up with a gimmick yet?
No, absolutely not.
Maybe he was mad because people had cooler costumes than him.
All right, so yeah, because you used to train with. So here's what I'm... So he writes, "Chicago Professional Wrestling Factory in the arena in Philadelphia is a fraud of a wrestling school and a cheat and a hoax. This is not a conspiracy. I'm not immature or impulsive. This is more of a forewarning for prospective professional wrestling students, coming from a student myself at the Chicago Professional Wrestling Factory. Now I'm here to tell you why with explicit reasoning. Free labor. I could not stress this enough. One day, particularly being Saturday, October 29th, and Sunday, October 30th, which was the last weekend Michael Quackenbush, the head trainer of Chicago Professional Wrestling Factory..."
Michael Quackenbush.
Students,
he got all professional.
"Explain the students, being the newer students and the more advanced and experienced ones, that it was mandatory to attend two shows as part of the ring crew. Seemingly that this was exhilarating for everyone. Don't ask me why, but were we to receive any sort of payment or reward for this labor's activity, attending both shows in Chicago and Reading and Williamsport? Not one bit. As it appeared to be, most professional wrestling schools, being independent promotions, had to serve as an excellent representation for the name of Chicago Professional Wrestling. This is not ranked in the top three of WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor. Now, is it? Absolutely nowhere near. When I attended class sessions on Wednesday, November 12, 2nd, 2011, he didn't go to the shows because I guess it was snowing. It was that, remember that fucking big snowstorm?
Yeah.
So he didn't go. After the warm-ups that they were doing in the ring, Mr. Spillane, Quackenbush, wouldn't take no for an answer for being absent at both shows. With that being said, he forced us to do 500 squats for not being present at one show, and a total of 1,000 squats for not being present at two shows. Please enlighten me. How is exercising our quadriceps until they tear teaches anything about professional wrestling? As far as I'm concerned, this is not a freestyle high school wrestling where all they care about is physical conditioning.
That's it?
Sorry about that. So basically, I'm not going to read the whole fucking thing because it's fucking long as shit.
Okay. Here's what I think about that kid.
Hey, nice baggy shirt, you faggot!
It's fucking long as shit. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Let me give my opinion. Okay, first off, when the kid starts talking about he had to work his ring crew and then he didn't get paid at all and it's strenuous. Asshole, that's what fucking students do, you stupid douchebag. You didn't get paid. Go fucking find a ring crew that gets paid. I fucking dare you. Find a fucking ring crew that gets paid, you stupid fucking asshole. And then, oh, he had us do too many squats because, you know, it was just like he was upset with us. Well, I'm going to tear a quad over here. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to tear my quad out. It's wrestling. It's, oh, it's, I didn't think you guys are one of the top three, are you? No, I think that's the fucking place you signed up and started paying, you fucking asshole. And I just don't get it. I don't get where people get this fucking idea that wrestling is supposed to be easy. And, you know, as long as it's not the WWE, you should be babied and fucking pampered. And you should just get they should just be rolling out a big-ass carpet that's in a, like, on a, you know, the red side of things. And just allow you to walk your little faggot ass all the way to the fucking WWE because that's where you should start working hard. But dude, you don't have a fucking clue, and you're lucky, lucky that you didn't have an old school promoter that didn't beat your fucking ass for talking shit about getting paid for being ring crew. Serious, dude. I don't know who you are, and, you know, they should take your fucking costume back.
So one of the guys who already is on the roster, his name's Harper, he was telling him he should be doing the squats, and when the student asked what Harper, who is one of the, you know, he's actually on the roster and actually wrestling, Harper told him that this whole thing, you know, it's about paying your dues. This is a part of being a professional wrestler. The guy fucking basically talked back, stating, I consider this free labor. I never knew doing free labor for somebody was a part of being a simple prospective student.
Yeah, well, maybe your parents bought you into the fucking wrestling business because they had the money for the school, but it doesn't make you fucking fit for the wrestling business, and you do have to pay your dues. Fucking heads up, dude. I don't know. Maybe you're living in kayfabe world where it's just fucking, I just go out there and just have passion. Just have passion. Fucking Quackenbush should have fucking released a public statement that said this.
It's my house. You know what it is? And if you don't like it, you get the fuck out.
That's the
fuck
you should have
done. I don't know why Quackenbush, he has a different voice now. But that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you could pull off an Eddie Murphy. But
yeah. I guess Eddie Murphy talk one. Eddie Murphy, that's his publicist now, you know? They work together.
Right.
I don't understand these fucking people. Like maybe we can get into this real briefly, because I know you have opinions on some stuff.
Yeah.
So
I have opinions
what does that speak must speak volumes for the way that the younger generation of wrestlers act. I mean, let's talk about the Young Bucks for a second. And it's been known that the Young Bucks are known for just being douchebags.
Yeah.
I mean
there's a huge difference between this kid and those guys.
No, I agree. I definitely agree.
The Young Bucks are extraordinarily talented. They are, and they're just extremely arrogant. They haven't come up, again, I mean, they came up under, I don't know who trained them. I really don't. I wish
maybe
I did.
Hardys. I thought the Hardys trained them.
I don't think so. I know they trained Team Action. But I don't think they trained the Young Bucks. I guess we'll figure that out in like next week or something. I'll maybe bring that up or whatever the case is. But Drop kicking your phone again. That's
No, I'm plugging the phone in.
All right, plugging, texting, who knows? It all comes out. Anyway, I don't know who trained them. And honestly, like, I can only blame the people who trained them so much because in the end, they're grown-ass men and they need to learn how to fucking act. And,
right.
You know, eventually someone in the business is going to take real fucking offense to the way that they do act. And it's going to become a quick problem for them all of a sudden. Now, after all these years of other people having the problem, they're going to end up with the problem if they continue to conduct bad business. I also do think that there's a good amount of what do you mean what's next week? It's the week after this one, Brent. You know, but I do think that there's actually a good amount of it that's now worked. It's become so public that they're big douchebags and they're arrogant douchebags and all of that stuff. I think at this point, they actually are working it. I really do. Because, I mean, they went even as far as to do the whole, you know, they do the handshake thing in Ring of Honor to make, like, a big deal out of we don't shake hands, you know, because all of this stuff was on the internet about, you know, oh, they're not shaking hands in the back and they're not saying hi to people and stuff like that, you know. And I understand that and I agree with that these guys are wrong for not, you know, you know, following the, you know, the way of how wrestlers are supposed to conduct themselves. But now I do think that there's a certain amount of it that is being worked as far as they go. Again, this kid just doesn't understand. He just got a fucking, a really nice, honestly, No. What I was saying, Brent, because he's asking me, what did I mean about next week? Well, I said, no, I would find out who trained them, and I would, you know, mention it next week, because I have no I have no knowledge of that right now. So, you know. But anyway, like I was saying, this kid, like, he just has no knowledge of how wrestling actually works, on how, you know, you're supposed to conduct yourself, the way you're supposed to pay dues, the way, and he actually had a really nice lesson. Because I'm telling you, there's a million fucking old school promoters that would just beat the shit out of this kid for acting stupid. You know, for acting like he didn't know, and oh, this fucking guy wants to get paid, and fucking just for fucking putting the ring up and ripping the ring down. I can't even fucking understand the mentality of that. So, again, the Young Bucks are fucking talented wrestlers, and maybe they conduct business wrong, but eventually they'll catch a receipt for what they're doing. But again, yeah, half of it may very well be worked quite a bit. So it's not necessarily it's definitely two completely different topics. So me trying to talk about both of them at the same time is very difficult. But the kid is a guy who will never be in the wrestling business. He's a guy who just doesn't get it, will never get it, and he'll, you know, never be big enough to do a shoot interview, but he'll be sure to tell all of the friends he meets while they watch Raw on Monday on his mommy's couch. He'll be sure to tell everybody how he got screwed out of being in the wrestling business by a terrible school that was unprofessional, you know. And hopefully all of his friends will turn and call him a fucking douchebag, but most likely for being friends with this kid to begin with, they're already douchebags. So chances are that'll be a big, they'll make signs and go to Chikara shows and don't train here. We don't like Michael. Michael Quackenbush is not my friend. You know, just, I don't know. This kid's a retard. So that's my bit on that. You had just told me that, like, I don't know, 10 minutes before the show or some shit like that. And I really had no thoughts on it because I had no knowledge of what the kid wrote or whatever. And, you know, I have my feelings on Chikara, and I think it's semi-ridiculous federation.
It's the way that they do. You know what I mean? They have some fucking extremely talented guys that work for them. You know what I mean?
They sure do. And I don't take that away from anybody there. It just gets to the point where it becomes a fucking, you know, a masquerade or a fucking, you know, Halloween party.
But they have
without
a certain,
the sluts, without, you know what I mean? Like, Halloween has all, you know, chicks in slutty costumes. There's no chicks in slutty costumes. It's just a bunch of dudes in masks and fucking helmets and, you know?
Yeah.
alter
but
ego.
Like I was saying, like when I worked this, my first show, you know, I got 2 months ago. I fucking set the ring up, and I fucking said nothing. I just
did you get paid?
No, absolutely not.
That's fucking bullshit, man. It's fucking slave labor. Fucking fight the man. Occupy fucking Chikara, man.
I wasn't even Chikara.
But yeah, this kid should set up a tent outside of Michael Quackenbush's house and occupy Chikara.
Like Occupy Wall Street. I think
that's a
great fucking clue. That's not a good way to. I think that's a great way to fucking go to jail.
No, occupy his lawn. Fuck that. Pay me for my fucking ring set up.
Occupying, then the fucking prisoners will be occupying you.
Well. Yeah.
As you will be their bitch. But anyway,
right.
by the way, we're doing football a little late tonight.
Yes, we are.
There's a game going on right now.
I know, and it was on my TV, and then my stupid DVR is a piece of shit. I just want to fucking put that out there for the millionth fucking time. I want this DVR to burn in hell.
No, you don't.
I wanted
you
to find
it.
A way to leave my house so it doesn't burn my house down, and then I want it to be on fire. So anyway, now, okay, I just switched the game back on. And what the fuck? How the fuck did Carson Palmer all of a sudden become like a viable fucking quarterback? Like, I don't understand. It's fucking now.
I don't know, but
again.
All I know is I picked fucking Oakland this week.
You what?
All I know is I picked Oakland this week.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Says who?
Says the picks I fucking made. On the CBS Sports line.
The what?
Yeah. I made the fucking pick for Oakland this week.
You did? I got to go check that again, because last time I seen we both picked San Diego.
Did I must have fucked up then.
Yeah, you must have fucked up. Let me see here. Fucking San Diego. Yep.
Fucking bullshit. Can you see all my other picks for the week or no?
No. They only show you the Thursday game.
What's that score? Hey, what's the score on that game right now?
Well, like I said, Oakland just scored another touchdown, so it's now 24-10. I don't get it. My thing over here is like, they ain't got fucking Run DMC this week. I can't imagine. Where fucking Carson Palmer is going to fucking drive them past the San Diego Chargers, you know, Jesus Christ. I just don't get it. I mean, there's just some things I just don't get about this fucking, this football season. One thing I do get is my motherfucking Niners are the shit.
Oh,
I get that.
Real quick. How about that fucking Penn State fucking debacle?
Oh, man. Oh, man. Fucking, that's not enough. All of those motherfuckers should be jailed immediately. Fuck the dude saying, you know, he get all this shit where he didn't do anything, you know. Somebody just told him someone was raping 10-year-olds in the fucking thing. He didn't do it. He just didn't fucking tell the cops. Oh, well, the other guy, you know, saw someone raping a fucking 10-year-old and just, told somebody else in the school. What the fuck? Yo, what the fuck goes through somebody's mind that just goes, yeah, you're just raping a 10-year-old. Oh, I'm definitely going to have to tell one of my coworkers about this.
That's ridiculous. Like, I heard that. I was like, what the fuck is going on over there?
Yeah, and obviously, what's his name? The coach. Joe Paterno is catching like mad heat off of that because he's the only one who fucking people know his name. But when it comes down to it, that fucking guy should roast because he was another guy who was told and didn't go to the fucking cops. And he fucking allowed this guy to fucking continue to work there. And like, all this shit just continued to happen because he just
she just rolled with it. Like, oh, okay, yay. Okay, stop raping 10-year-olds, okay? All right, buddy. Cool. I'll see you on Monday. You know? And it wasn't even a one-time thing. And this fucking jerk-off that did the fucking thing, he was running an organization to help and counsel and find an avenue that can help children who are in need, who don't have, you know, maybe the proper parenting or don't have structure or don't have a place to go, and then he fucking raped them. You know, and I don't give a fuck about, you know, people talk about, oh, Joe Paterno, man, you know, he's one of the most respected, you know, college coaches, and
how can you let something go like that? Like, that's ridiculous.
He had such an, you know, untarnished reputation, and, like, Penn State had such a, like, a high reputation. Oh, well, guess what you just did, douchebag? You fucking ruined that reputation. Just because spotless.
I'm not going to just blame it, and honestly, Jay, like, I don't think you should just blame Paterno, because you have to blame everybody.
Well, I'm not saying that, but he's the guy with the name that people are talking about. But the fucking guy who did the act should be shot in his fucking face. The guy who fucking seen that shit happen and fucking and just fucking told another guy who worked there above him should be shot in the fucking face. And Paterno should be put in fucking jail for being the fucking third person to hear about that shit, including the person that did it, and fucking didn't do a goddamn thing. So that's my thing on that, man. These are fucking children. And not only that, like, these are children that are looking for a way, and this guy created a fucking organization just so he can fucking, he can put his fucking shit in boys, little fucking 10-year-old boys that don't have anybody. You know what I mean? You're ruining their fucking life forever. Like, those fucking kids are never going to be right. They'll be fucking 20-year-old fucking serial killers, and it all started with this fucking asshole. And then they'll be the fucking asshole. Not this jerk-off. This jerk-off won't see a fucking tenth of the fucking time that those kids are when they're fucking 20 years old and they're killing people. And that's the fucking problem right
and
there.
It's sad that society has to fucking be that way.
It destroys fucking lives. This type of thing destroys fucking lives, and you should be charged with the same level of fucking prison and everything else as fucking murderers are, because you're taking someone's life away from them.
But the whole fucking organization fucked up. The whole organization fucked up. They didn't handle this right. You know, every single one of them.
You get this fucking just enormous fucking pep rally of fucking students on this jerk-off's fucking lawn, fucking cheering them on. Hey, fucking Joe, we love you, Joe. We don't care about people getting raped in their ass at 10 years old either. Yeah, Joe. All right. Yeah, go football. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Nah, it's not about football at this point. It's about people.
No, it's not. But when people fucking gather around to cheer him on, who are you cheering on? What the fuck are you cheering on?
They're all guilty of the same shit then. If they fucking are supporting this shit, they should be fucking going to jail too. Let's be honest.
It's just ridiculous. These fucking people don't have a goddamn clue about, you know, what fucking life is. You know, if every one of these little douchebags fucking jumping around on fucking Joe Paterno's fucking lawn had a fucking son that was raped in the asshole at fucking 10 years old, bet they wouldn't jump around on Joe's lawn no more, you know?
Maybe jumping with guns fucking trying to shoot guns. You know what, today's show, it seems like, you know, we've had that trending topic of people being douchebags today. Chikara, Stu Hinton, this fucking shit.
Yeah,
you know.
It does happen. And I'm clearly not in the mood for anybody's bullshit, so,
you know. But this is the best time to get the fucking, you know, to talk about shit, honestly, because, you know, you have a lot of fucking things to say about some shit, you know what I mean? Like, don't hold back. You know, don't hold back on shit. Like, what are they going to do?
I clearly don't. Right. No, but like I said, I just think it's all bullshit. There's a bunch of covering up of something that is one of the most terrible fucking things that could ever happen in anybody's life. For many, many people, you'd be better off dead than to have that happen to you. Because many times it sends people in such a psychosis that they end up taking other people's lives who are innocent.
Or getting on drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Going to drugs to forget about it.
a million things that come out of the you know, the terrible abuse and torture that goes on with that. So it just, it's unexcusable, and there's nobody out there that should have to deal with that in their life, and there's definitely nobody out there that should be fucking harboring and fucking enabling people who are into that fucking terrible shit. And that's what the fuck Penn State is fucking scarred with right now, and that's, you could go look at Joe, you go look at the asshole under him that fucking watched that shit happen, and you go look at the asshole that fucking set that shit up and did it, you know? And then you right. can look at the fucking students that think that there's nothing wrong with this and we need to go fucking support our fucking coach. You can look at all those fucking people. And, you know, that's... I think that's all I got to say about that. Real quick, yeah. Diego. Real quick. Just real quick, I'm going to just talk about this Penn State thing. Oh, yeah. Real fucking quick. Jesus.
Yeah, real quick, my ass.
Yeah, real fucking quick.
Hey, it's good though. We know we have time, you know.
The Chargers are fucking burying herself real quick, I can tell you that much. You know, fucking Philip Rivers over here fucking throwing the ball to the ground.
Piece of shit.
I'd understand if they wore fucking green jerseys and he kept throwing to the fucking green turf, but they're clearly not wearing green jerseys, so, you know. Yeah, you know, that's why I guess you guys get a pass for, you know, throwing the ball to the wrong places because you're wearing green jerseys. They just missed a field goal, so it's still 24-10. Yeah, third quarter. You guys are in terrible fucking shape. So, yeah. All right. So, yeah. Is the chat room still alive? I had, like, a fucking message in there from that. Maybe I just shocked them all with the whole fucking Penn State thing. They're like, oh, fuck. Jesus, I didn't know we were going there. I feel all weird now.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Huh. Football picks.
Yeah, football. The football that doesn't involve raping little boys.
Wow. Breaking news. Due to threats made against a Penn State assistant coach, Mike McQueary, he will not coach Saturday versus Nebraska.
Right. And that's the other thing. Like, Joe decided that, I guess I'm just going to retire after this season. He made a little statement the other day. So then today they decided, don't worry about it, dude. You're fired. Yeah, good job, Penn State. You definitely had to fucking do that. You definitely don't want to let the guy fucking finish out the year. And who cares? I mean, you motherfuckers could win whatever championship you want this year, and everybody's going to be like, fuck them. They let this motherfucker just hang out. Oh, good retirement. Let's see them all. No. You got to go, dude. Fucking bye. Thanks for the treat, stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, retard.
Fucking shit.
Piece of shit, no good motherfucker.
Yeah. Like I said, on to the football that doesn't involve raping little boys.
Well, I didn't realize you were in third place. You're third place in this overall standings.
Yes, I am, because I, sir, am the shit.
The shit?
That is,
what'd you say? You're the shit?
I am the shit. I am what's poppin'. You know what I mean?
Yo, the 49ers have decided to close down the organization.
Third place, like, I got 71 fucking wins on the season. And first place guy got 73 wins. Obviously, second got 72. But that's a bad motherfucker right there, as far as I'm concerned. Yes, it is. And, man, where you at? Let me scroll down. Here we go.
Here we go.
Eric, I got to keep scrolling. Why do I have to scroll so far to see your name, Eric? Oh, you got 64. Yeah. 64. Yeah. That's a good effort. That's a good try.
Yeah. Fuck them.
Anyway.
We need to pay shit anyway.
What?
I don't want to hear that bullshit anyway. All right, let's fucking get on with the week.
You do okay. You do just fine for yourself. So anyway,
obviously, we got the game going on now. Everybody knows we both have San
hey,
Diego.
You're screwing up. You're screwing up. You got to play the music and go over what happened last week. So go ahead and do that, okay? You always do that.
The only thing that happened that mattered last week, I just played the fucking music for starters.
No, you got to play it while you're talking. I don't know why you stopped it. You're not...
San Francisco.
Yeah? How's that?
I'm not either.
Huh?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Booker,
as soon as I couldn't hear you.
I want to have sex with your wife. And I'm not just talking any kind of sex with your wife. No. I'm talking, you know, that kind of bestiality sex with your wife. You know, what I want with your wife, Charmel, I want to have that kind of perverted sex.
Okay, now that we've played the NFL music, our first game up, other than the one that's on now, and, you know, we had Oakland versus San Diego, San Diego favored by 6.5 points, and we both picked San Diego, and we're kicking ourselves in the balls for that right now. So, next pickup is New Orleans versus Atlanta. New Orleans is favored by 0.5 point. Who do you got?
Got Atlanta.
Okay, and I got New Orleans. So, yeah, that should be a banging game. Next up, we have the Tennessee Titans taking on the Carolina Panthers. And the Panthers are favored by 2.5 points, and I got the Panthers.
I got the Panthers as well.
All right. Next up, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers, who just lost their game against their rivals, against the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are favored by 3.5 points. Who do you got?
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
I got Pittsburgh as well. They got to be angry after the Ravens.
By the way, last week we tied with mine, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we had the same picks. We had the same picks for every game.
Yeah, it was a little different on air, and quite honestly, it's kind of hard to keep up with this and that. And I think I caught like another loss on the air, and I think you caught another loss on the air. So we still might have been even, or you might have actually been up by a point or two. But like I said, this week has been kind of rough for me to keep up with. So, but I know definitely on the other pool we were dead even.
Yeah.
So. I looked at it and I was like, oh, great, fucking, I'm in first place, but so is Eric with the same exact fucking picks. That's great. We'll come down to Monday night and they'll be down to points. And I'm like, well, combined points, I got 42. Eric's got 41. So now it's like the fucking Price is Right where if fucking the combined score is under 42, Eric wins. If it's over 41... I win. Oh, wow. What a fucking beautiful game of Price is Right this is for my fucking week. Fantastic. Well, neither one of us won, so it really doesn't matter. Next up, we have the St. Louis Rams.
You would have been so pissed, I think.
Oh, fuck that, dude. Oh, fuck.
I would have heard the end of it.
Yeah. Next up is the St. Louis Rams at the Cleveland Browns, with the Browns favored by 2.5 points. Who you got?
I got the Rams this week.
You do?
Cleveland's horrible.
Do they? I got faith. I'm taking the Browns.
The Browns, though, I mean, they're going in the wrong direction. The fucking defense is horrible.
What? You out your motherfucking mind. The Browns' defense is the motherfucking staple of that team.
Hey,
they
I'm
don't
reading
got
the rankings. I'm reading the rankings now, and they said, hey, they seem to be going in the wrong direction. Even the defense isn't playing well now.
Wah. Whatever. Whatever. Doesn't matter to me. I'm going with Cleveland. Anyway, next up, we got the Buffalo Bills taking on the Dallas Cowboys.
The Cowboys are favored by 5.5 points. And I got Dallas.
I got Buffalo. I think Buffalo is going to, you know, I think it could be like a real close game, 3 to 4 point, you know, game. So I could see Buffalo pulling out.
Gonna be a hard game to call. It really is, and I hate picking Dallas ever because I'd rather they rot in hell than me fucking pull for them. You know.
Although Jabili's real happy, he's probably fucking the real happy. He's like, oh.
It's one of those teams, just like your team, that like even if I pick them and they're losing, I don't mind. I just go, well, that's fine. Like I picked them when they lost to Chicago, and I was like, well, I didn't need that win. Fuck it. This will do. I'm just as happy. Look at that. I'm losing and I'm just as happy. So it's kind of a win-win. I got to have some kind of plus if your shit team wins because, I bet on them. Okay, great.
Well, I'm actually reading, like, all the old fucking shit in the chat room. I don't know what the fuck Billy's talking about.
Who knows? People stop talking. Brent said no one's talking anymore, so I don't know, man.
And nobody wants to talk to him, probably.
No one's talking at all right now. For a
while. I don't know why Billy's fucking having a conversation with me. I didn't even know it. He's like, yes, but Eric, you are missing
the point.
He's
talking about Shakara. Yes, yes, yes. We're not going to read the fucking chat thing off. We're doing the football. Next up is the Jacksonville Jaguars taking on the Indianapolis Colts. And Jacksonville is favored by 3.5 with the fully defeated, not undefeated, all defeated Colts. Who do you got?
Baby, I got fucking Indy, baby. Indy.
I don't know what kind of impression it is.
Let me tell you why I have Indy.
Oh.
I got fucking stats here to prove it.
You
why I'm picking
stats?
Indy. Yeah, big time, baby. All right, so, and you're going to laugh. You're going to laugh.
Yeah, you too.
Go ahead. They're 2-1 when I pick them. The Colts are 2-1 when I pick them. 2-1 when I pick them. With the spread. They haven't won a game this year, but they're 2-1 with winning me
what,
in this
what
pool.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, hey, they're 2-1.
They haven't won a game. How are they 2-1?
With the they've won with the spread. If the spread.
Fuck. What? The Colts are 2-1 when I picked them. They haven't won a game. Yeah, but with the spread, they're winners. No, they still fucking lose it. What? You fucking send a fucking email to the motherfucking Colts office saying, hey, guys, you're 2-1 with me. They'll fucking they'll send you a hat or something.
Hey, the 49ers.
They'll send you one of those fucking.
The 49ers.
They'll send you one of those foam fingers.
Yeah, the 49ers are 5-0 when I picked them.
Well,
I was so
at least we have seven
day.
Fucking wins.
The other day, it was, what the fuck, I think it was Tuesday. Tuesday, I was so bored. I had so much time to fucking kill. So I went down each week and I fucking picked, like, I saw who I fucking won. And I saw, like, and I went down on everybody. Like, the Steelers are 0-4 when I picked them.
You went down on everybody? That's great.
Yeah, on every team. Like, I went down each week and was, like, doing with
disgusting.
Two losses. I was
quite
bored.
Honestly, I mean, it's an uncensored
so
show, but I don't really.
I've picked the Patriots 7 times this year out of 9
Jeez.
Weeks. I've picked the Eagles 7 times, and I only picked them to lose once.
Yeah, and Juan still hates you for that, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Patriots I picked twice. I've only picked once. But, all right.
Well, the next game is the Denver Broncos taking on the Kansas City Chiefs with the Kansas City Chiefs favored by 3.5 points. And I'm going with Kansas City.
Well, you know, off my information, Denver's 2-4 when I picked them.
Here we go. You got like an angle to go on every week. This angle kicked in late. Last week you were an injury guy. You're like, well, this guy practiced 2 out of 3 days. He actually showed up for the second day of practice, and he started pulling up a little high on the hammy. So he sat out the rest of that practice. You know, the early part of the practice went really well. When he went for a Gatorade break, he decided to call it a day. So
this kind of talk is extended time talk, trying to extend as much time as we have. Because I hate ending early, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Well,
the Chiefs are 2-2 when I picked them, but you know I haven't picked Denver this week. So hopefully they're 3-4.
The Denver Tebows.
Denver Tebows. 3.5 is a lot. And
it is.
3.5 is a lot. Field goal.
Oh. Okay. Well, next up we have the Washington Redskins taking on the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins, as Charles Barkley might say, Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins are favored by 3.5 points. What do you got?
It's funny. I haven't picked the Dolphins to win all year at all.
You haven't picked them all year?
I haven't picked them all year.
Well,
they're the
probably,
only team I haven't picked.
So hold on. Wait. I think your record is pretty good with the Dolphins, isn't it?
I'm 0-0. Guess what? I'm picking the Dolphins this week.
Oh, God. I got Mommy as well.
Word.
Yeah, man. Like I said, Matt Moore, who my boy Stan over there, he actually clued me in on you know who that was when we were scrambling and you were Googling to no avail. But he told me that's Matt Moore, that quarterback over there. I actually think he's pretty impressive. And,
he's been in the league for a couple of years. I thought you were talking about a rookie.
Oh, he's been in the league a couple of years?
Yeah, he's been in the league about six or seven years. I seen it last week. I seen that it was Matt Moore, and I was going to say it, but you kept saying rookie. And I'm like, there is no fucking rookie.
I don't know shit about the guy, so I just figured rookie because I don't know a goddamn thing about the guy.
Like I seen it was Matt Moore last week, but I didn't. You know, he's not a rookie, so you kept saying rookie quarterback, and I'm like, well, there's no rookie fucking quarterback on this team.
Well, if it's his first year where I give a shit about him or no shit about him, then he's a fucking rookie. Fuck it.
Okay,
so,
it's gonna play the J-Cab Moore.
Yeah,
so like,
I'll reinvent your career. That's how it goes. Next up, we have the Arizona Cardinals taking on your loser fucking team of the Philadelphia Eagles. Somehow, these guys who don't win any fucking games for the most part are just on a low level. How many games did you guys win this year?
Three.
Well, that's pretty impressive. That's less than half of my wins. Well, their favorite. I said, that's less than half of the wins that the Niners have, you know.
Oh, here we go. Here we go with that.
But that's, you guys are quite impressive, Dream Team. You guys go out there and do
a mediocre job.
Huh?
What's your record?
What's our record? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
7-1.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I know. That's,
Who'd you lose to?
We lost to the Cowboys. That really doesn't matter when you have 7 wins, you know.
Yeah, no, but it would make it a lot better if it was 8, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, that's the thing. I don't take offense to having one loss. I really don't. Like, I hate the Dallas Cowboys. I really, like, sincerely hate the Dallas Cowboys. But you know, one thing I could say about our wins, one of them was against the fucking Eagles. So it's hard for an Eagle fan to say anything about our loss when we fucking beat you. Anyway, somehow they give the fucking Eagles 13.5 points. They just, you know, they're just like, well, you know, Arizona ain't shit. And I would kind of agree. That's what that is. Who do you got?
Philly.
Yeah, I got Philly too.
I'm not going to do you, Big Billy.
Whatever. You know,
they're
fucking
3-4
let me down, you puppy killing cunt. What? they're actually. Oh.
3-4 when I fucking pick them. And Arizona is. I didn't pick them this week, but they're 3-1 when I pick them.
I don't understand 3-1. Like, what does 3-1 mean? Like, we're going into week 10. What this no, three
but I've only picked them four
you,
times.
You don't pick them?
I picked them only four times to win.
Now I get it. Still kind of pointless.
It's only game.
Next
yeah.
up,
I picked them.
Next
it is
up, we have
pointless, but this is a call. This is Eric Williams' information of extending the show. Okay?
Eric's random fucking pointless information of the week. 1 week is injury. One week I go back and just say like what I've done picking that guy to win per week.
Oh, next week you're gonna like it. I'm gonna do a this week in history.
Hey, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
Oh, no. This week in history for CZW, because next week I'm going to do random things for everything we're going to talk about.
Oh, no, but you got to come up with a gimmick for the football picks where you just talk about something random. Like, hey, I got, every time they wear the throwback jerseys, I'm actually 2-1. I'm 2-1 on throwback jersey games when I pick against the spread.
I want it to. You're like it next week. I don't go with next week. Okay.
Raider Nation. I am only 1-4, but when the guy wears the spikes around 3 o'clock, when I see him on my TV at 3 o'clock, I usually lose that game. But the guy with the spikes and the Darth Vader.
I think I'm gonna do the same thing I did for this week, for you for next week. Just so you can see where you're at and who you pick the
Jesus
most.
Jesus Christ.
I think I'm going to do that tomorrow. I might do it tomorrow, actually. That makes no sense.
That's just pointless. And you can see how good
pointless.
I am.
0-5, 0-4.
That's why I have so many wins.
So we got Houston and Tampa Bay.
Yes, we do. And Houston is favored by 3.5 points. And I'm going to go with Houston.
I'm going with Houston. They're 4-2 when I picked them. So, and Tampa is only. They're the other team.
I know this is last week's gimmick, but do you have any, as opposed to last week's gimmick, do you have any injury report or the feeling on how Mario Williams is doing lately? Because I don't really know. Is he back in the game or what's going on?
Yeah, he is back in the game. He is not even
okay.
on the injury report this week. So.
Okay, fantastic.
Well,
Kevin Walter
had full practice this week. He's probable this week.
We don't want to flash back too much.
Daniel Manning, the safety. It was reported on November 9th that he did not practice. He's questionable for this week, and defensive end Antonio Smith did not practice.
It was reported on November 1st that Mario Williams was serving miniature Twix at his Halloween extravaganza. At the front door, you can receive miniature Twix at Mario Williams' front door. It was reported on November 1st.
Whoa. We're talking about some crazy things.
Reporting. Like it was along the injury lineup. It was just you can also get Twix at his door on Halloween. It is past, but it was reported on November 1st. I'm just, bringing it up. Anyway, next up we have Baltimore at Seattle. And Baltimore is favored by 7.5 points. So,
Baltimore and Seattle. Well,
yep.
With the Ravens, I have... 3-1 with the Ravens, and Seattle is 3-2. So I have Baltimore this week.
So you're going with Baltimore this week? Yeah, I'm going with Baltimore as well. I'm just confused by your random fucking stats.
You love it.
But,
don't lie. You love it.
So then we have the Detroit Lions taking on the Chicago Bears, who just beat some shit team on Monday. And
fuck that.
The Bears are favored by 0.5 point. So it's anybody, whoever wins this game type of situation. And you... I think it's me, right?
Yep.
I got Detroit.
Well, Detroit's 3-2 when I picked them. Bears are 3-3. So it is a toss-up. I got the Detroit Lions, though. And it's funny on this thing. It says 50% pick Detroit, 50% pick Chicago.
Bipolar. You know.
Good that you have to fucking there anyway.
Detroit? We both got Detroit then, right? Okay.
You know what's funny? Did you see his, like, recent videos? Like, he's been doing a bunch of videos lately.
No, I did not.
You should get on that. There's a bunch of ones where he's saying, there was feces on my ceiling.
Oh.
So you gotta go back and, like, check these fucking new...
I think I've seen that. This not even new. I think I've seen that. And it's just... So I pulled clips from a lot of that shit to get the, you know, many, many fucking things that I got. And, you know.
Well, no, because they're brand new.
No, they're not. Like, they're re-uploading a lot of their shit. Like, he's been unentertaining for a while now. So, believe me, I've seen that video. And he's got, like, one guy. Well, he says it's one guy, but it's probably him under an alter ego. And he's, like, re-uploading all his videos onto a new channel. Because he has, like, fucking 15 channels because he's a loser. Next up. Oh, man. This is why you play the game. This is why people show up. You know, this right here. This New York Giants versus
San Francisco.
Yes, that's right. And we're favored by 3.5 points, fellas. And, of course, I'm going with my boys. And motherfucking Giants, you boy, Eli, we're going to be on your ass, son. Let's go. Who you got?
All right, so you're going to kill me now. All right? You'll kill me Saturday.
What?
So the Giants are 1-4 when I pick them. But the 49ers are 5-0 when I pick them. I'm going to smart. I can't believe I'm saying this. This is comedy hour. I'm going to keep the fucking 49ers' streak alive at 5-0. I'm not picking them this week. I'm going to pick the Giants this week only because I want to keep the 5-0 streak alive.
Oh, Jesus. So you're picking the Giants, huh?
This week, yes. You will kill me.
I ain't gonna kill shit. I'm gonna laugh my ass off when
San Francisco
takes care of the boys over there and shows that the fucking NFC West might not have a lot of fucking power on the whole. You ain't gotta worry about all four of those fucking teams, but there's one fucking team in the NFC West that you need to worry about, and who is a fucking contender for not only
Seattle?
The fucking playoffs,
Rams,
the fucking Super Bowl. And you're talking about the motherfucking
San Francisco
49ers. Period, yo. Seriously. You watch. But you got one fucking team in the NFC that I feel like
play that clip again. I want to do something. Play that clip again.
Oh, here we go. Who's the best team in the NFC?
San Francisco.
The Giants. Yes, that's what the team is. The Giants. The San Francisco Giants.
Well, that was a waste of time. So, what I'm saying is, listen, the Packers are a beast. I know that. Everybody knows that. There's been a lot of flaws exposed on other teams, and I'm not saying that we don't have flaws. But as a 49er fan, I feel like I can be confident enough this year. I can be confident enough at this point, and you know, I think it's been something like 8 years since we've actually even been in the playoffs. And playoffs, it's very fucking exciting for me, and I can't do anything but just shoot for the stars with my, with my expectations of this team because they're just outperforming the shit out of anything I could have imagined. So that's just that's just how I'm rolling right now. Fuck it. I'm just shooting for the stars.
It's
fucking
funny.
Super Bowl. Let's go.
Green Bay's the only other team that is undefeated when I pick them.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
That might be a 49ers versus Green Bay could be a possible.
They haunted us for many years, dude. Fucking NFC Championship game. I've grown a great hatred for them.
I'm going to say that that's going to be the NFC Championship game this year. It's going to be Green Bay and San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. So, anyway, next up we have huge division rivals, a team who has been let down for a couple weeks now, and that is the New England Patriots taking on...
I was going to say something.
Taking on the New York Jets, and the Jets are favored by a point and a half. Who do you got?
Well, I know the Jets, but it's only because of the record. The record proves it strays because they're 4-2 when I picked them. The Patriots are only 2-5 when I picked them, so I'm picking the Jets this week.
Oh. All right. Yeah, I got New England because I'm...
You do.
Okay. I'm 42-12 when I pick New England, and I let the dog out at about 7:30 at night, and that's when they're I'm at a great success rate with New England, letting the dog out 7:30 at night, and then picking them, you know, against the spread.
What the hell does that matter? What the hell?
Hey, listen, man. I got my own stats. I'm gonna criticize yours. You know, this is what it is.
I'm gonna criticize yours too.
Oh well. Hey, listen. You know. It's how I play the game.
You want to do this out back? You want to do this out back? Okay, then. Anyway.
You play to win the game. You know? Play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. Anyway, last game of the week, we have the Minnesota Vikings up against the Green Bay Packers. And the Packers are favored by a big 13.5 points. And I have the Packers.
You got Green Bay, too.
You got Green Bay, too?
Yep.
Oh, what's your record?
I told you. 3-0.
Oh. Well, that's what it is.
I don't know why I didn't pick them more. That might be why I'm not doing too well.
I would blame it on that. I mean, you know? I mean, if there was a specific Packer that you would blame your failure on, who would it be?
It would be San Francisco.
Oh, that's uncalled for. You know, blame the winning team. That's great. No, well, I mean, if you would blame them, you would blame them for, not gaining your confidence because we've been quite successful. Even with the spread, quite successful. So, it works. It works. So, yeah, that is football. Sure is. Got through it, didn't rape any kids. That's what I like.
How about some TNA talk?
TNA talk? What is that?
TNA talk.
Want to talk about the tits and ass?
Oh, yeah, we can talk about who got the best tits and ass in the world.
Oh, I wasn't even prepared for this. I would have made a list, but...
About 30 of them. No,
total
amounts up. Impact Wrestling.
Oh, that TNA. I got you. Awkward.
Very awkward. Impact Wrestling just acquired OVW as their developmental territory.
I don't know what that means, though. Like, I don't know what that's gonna. Is that actually going to turn into something that people care about?
No, people are probably gonna start screaming something else.
Why TNA is one big fucking developmental company?
A big clusterfuck. It's a big clusterfuck.
But why does a developmental company have a developmental company? Like, what are they developing? Failure? Like, okay. We're going to keep you in this company until you're 50 years old, and then we'll put you you on our company because that is our prerequisite. You need to be 45 to 50 years old, so if we need to, this is what we do. Yeah, side note, like Brent just said, Kamala just lost his foot to diabetes. They had to amputate his foot, I think like today or yesterday or something, like very recent. Kamala lost his foot to diabetes.
Really?
Yeah. That's pretty
so
bad.
Sad.
Yeah, it is.
Wasn't he doing truck driving for a while? Like, was he a truck driver?
Well, I know he was booked on Maniac's show, and he didn't show up or something. But that's not a bad thing. But nah, I'm joking. But I don't know, man. Like, I guess he was making appearances as of pretty recently, but this and that. And another dude that, like, there's a lot of this terrible shit going on. Like, every time I look around, I'm just so negative. I fucking really depressed.
How about another bad thing is Mark Canterbury, a.k.a. Henry Godwin, in a car accident in an intensive care unit.
Yeah.
With numerous injuries, broken legs. A ruptured spleen.
Oh, man. I mean, tremendous shit. He drove his fucking car off a cliff.
On accident.
Brent, I will be watching that Subject to Change documentary this week. I finally got it. Believe me, I will be reviewing that, and it's going to be sad. So,
I already watched it. It was really good. We'll review it together, though.
Right. That was one bad thing. We also lost Heavy D this week. He was found dead.
Everybody keeps saying, like, okay, I'm the stupid one here. And I know you're going to be like, oh, this guy, he did this. And I'll be like, okay, I know who he's talking about now. So everybody keeps saying Heavy D. Did he, like, do anything for, like, new stuff? Like the new guys, or was he just like instrumental in those people? Because I keep hearing this name, and I'm like, I think I know who it is, but I just don't know. Like,
oh, what you're telling me is you don't know who Heavy D is?
Was he under a different name, or no?
He was under Heavy D.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was also Heavy D and the Boys.
I think I've heard that. The name sounds not familiar. I'm like, I know this fucking name. But I thought it was like one of those moments where I'm like, I couldn't put my fucking, like, my finger on it. Like, I was like, where the fuck did I hear that name before?
Okay. Heavy D will be missed. He was a, big, commercial hip-hop icon back in, early 90s, that type of thing. He was the, he did a lot of things, man. He was found dead, and it's kind of unexpected, but, in this fucking crazy week I just dealt with, believe me, I don't know. Another person, this was actually like a week, 2 weeks ago, something like that. Patrice O'Neal, the fucking comedian. He was just on the Charlie Sheen roast and all of that stuff. This guy is in like serious fucking condition in the hospital. Like he had like some kind of like stroke or some kind of shit like that, and he had diabetes too. And just a lot of like serious complications where like this guy might not fucking make it. And like I didn't expect that. I really, really didn't. Like, he was a happy dude. He was out there cracking jokes, and everything seemed fine. And, you never know what's underneath all of that stuff. But, that dude, he's pray for this guy.
Hey,
pray for a lot
of ending, we're not ending the show in a negative.
No. And,
absolutely not. We did that shit 2 weeks ago, and I was like, this is not good.
Right. I don't even know what I did 2 weeks ago. Anyway, but yeah, thanks, Brent, for your condolences on my loss and everything. I very much appreciate that. But outside of that, What else do we got? Because, we can't land negative. You know what's negative? Fucking 24-17. This fucking douchebag Raiders still winning the fucking game.
Oh, when, no, another fucking, another death is Icon Smoking Joe Frazier.
No, well, I actually mentioned that at the head of the show. He was, he died, and he was,
shows before? Was he
yeah, I actually got the chance to shake his hand, and, that was, you know, my most interactive, you know, point with Smoking Joe, and, you know, I felt really good, you know, that, like, I shook his hand and shit, and, even though it was his right hand, because I'm a righty, he knocked a lot of people out with his left, but, you know, he put it on a lot of motherfuckers with that same hand I shook, and they, I remember feeling that night, and I was just like, yo, that shit was really special, man. Like, that just to be able to touch, you know, one of the hands and just, you know, put it on fucking Muhammad Ali and that type of shit. You know what I mean? Like really, really big shit. You know what I mean? Oh, Brent starts college next week. All right, homie. Do you. But, yeah, you know, like I said.
Go get some bitches, yo. Go get some bitches.
Yeah, Eric will tell you how.
I wasn't saying. I was going to tell him how. I was going to tell him.
Shit. I was just trying to.
Juan was going to help him out. Where the hell is Juan at tonight? Is he even in the chat?
I don't know, homie. He's getting bitches. So anyway.
Oh, he's married. He's married, but he got bitches.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. Yes. Okay.
He got himself into that mess.
Oh,
marriage.
That's not right. How do you know what he's up to? Anyway, so no, I was saying, like, I lost my uncle and Smoking Joe on the same day in the same way. They both died on Monday, and they both died of liver cancer. So that's what I said that at the head of the show, so I don't want you to, you know, forget that I did mention that and everything like that. But no, it's definitely, yeah, oh, Brent's got that in-house. That's the move, dog. It's the move. So yeah, man. I mean, there's not a lot to be said, you know, about that, because it is what it is. It's terrible shit. You don't like to see people going like that. But again, if you don't want to end on a positive or a negative note, then what other topics do we have?
Hey, we could talk about Chikara. Coming up this weekend in the main event.
Well, that sounds
for
like
High
a
Moon.
Negative note to me.
No. Internet pay-per-view for the Chikara World Heavyweight Championship. It's going to be Lightning Mike Quackenbush versus the King Diamonds.
Lightning Michael Quackenbush.
Yes, whatever. Lightning
Michael
Mike
Quackenbush is fighting who?
The King of Diamonds, Eddie Kingston, for the Chikara World Championship. Kingston has a fucking hurt knee. Hurt fucking shoulder, and he fucking said he's fucking holding off. He's been fucking doing rehab. He's fucking having bad fucking problems with his knees. He says,
well,
I'm
5-1 picking Eddie Kingston, so I'm going with Eddie Kingston.
Okay. Well, yeah. But yeah. Yeah. Do you have any promos to play, like CZW promos to play?
No, I do not.
Do you have that Masada one? Because I would like to hear that. We should listen to that again. That was pretty good.
What Masada one?
The one about Cena. Please tell me you have that. That was a good one.
I don't think so, dude. Quite honestly, I think I got rid of it. What do I have? Let me see. I'll scroll down. What else do I have? I don't even know. No fucking idea. Holy God.
Jesus! Now, why don't we end the show with a good promo from somebody?
End the what?
Hey, wait a minute. Do you want to take a phone call? It might be Reggie. I don't know.
Nah, fuck him. Not dealing with that.
Maniac?
No. I mean, we should honestly probably wrap up.
Okay. Hey, we won 2 hours. You said it was going to be a short show, and it was not a short show.
No, I like to go 2 hours straight up. But, I mean, like I said, I had a rough week and this and that. Brent's all crazy. Jesus Christ.
What did he say?
I said, Brent's acting crazy. He wants me to take the call and stuff like that. It's not in the cards, dog.
Not tonight.
No. Gotta be with it. Well, I'm gonna play a long intro. Anyone wants to hang on?
A long outro.
I'm going to play.
What? Not a long intro, long outro. I'm not introing the show.
I'm introing the rest of motherfuckers' night. You know?
Okay, this is good.
Like an intro
like
to everybody else. What?
I said the outro for us and the intro for everybody else.
Right, yeah, man.
They can go check out after the show's over. You know, if they missed any part of it, they go back and listen to it on the archives.
Yeah, definitely everybody check out the archive, whatever. But if you're already listening, it's kind of ridiculous to say. But check us out next week, 9 p.m. Yeah, fuck it all. Fuck it. Fuck them.
Put it on your Facebook. Post that show on the Facebook. Yo, Yakuza Kick tore it up tonight. We had a great fucking show.
Yeah, help us promote it. If you like some shit that we did, you like some shit that we said, whatever, fucking tell a friend. Definitely, get us some listeners. Let's do this. Fucking, we got fucking 3.5 people in the chat room. For Christ's sakes.
Get fired up. You gotta get fired up.
I'm the half. But anyway, I'm gonna play a few things on the outro. Check out my dudes over there. Eric's gone. Check out my dudes over there at the Wrestling Soup. I love them dudes. I'm gonna play a few things on the outro. Check us out next week. Brent was about to ask what. I don't know. Well, you can go ahead and ask. You gotta be quick though. Eric just disappeared. Just completely disappeared. I just watched his fucking number drop off of my switchboard. So hey, I mean, what can you do? Anyway, check out CZW and Dragon Gate this weekend at the CZW Arena in South Philadelphia. It's going down. I'll fucking be there. Both fucking shows. Not that anyone gives a shit, but in the same token, go check that shit out. They got stacked fucking cards. It's going to be off the fucking chain. And, I'm the one half. Definitely, Brent. So, I'm going to play some songs and shit like that on the fucking thing if you want to hang out. I'm going to throw it on the ground. You check us the fuck out next week. That's what it is, man. Thanks for coming out. God bless you. Good night.
I was walking through the city streets, and a man walks up to me and hands me the latest energy drink. Run faster, jump higher. Man, I'm not gonna let you poison me. I threw it on the ground. You must think I'm a joke. I ain't gonna be part of your system. Man, pump that garbage in another man's vein. I go to my favorite hot dog stand, and the dude says, you come here all the time. Here's one for free. I said, man, what I look like, a charity case? I took it and threw it on the ground. Need your handouts. I'm an adult. Please, you can't buy me hot dog, man. At the farmer's market with my so-called girlfriend, she hands me her cell phone, says it's my dad. Man, this ain't my dad. This is a cell phone. I threw it on the ground. What, you think I'm stupid? I'm not a part of your system. My dad's not a phone. Duh. Some poser hands me cake at a birthday party. What?
Have it, eat it, happy birthday to the crowd. I threw the rest of the cake too. Welcome to the real world, jackass. So many things to throw on the ground, like this and this and that and even this. I'm an adult. Two Hollywood phonies tried to give me the autograph. Nobody wants your autograph, phonies. Then the two phonies got up. Turned out they had a taser, and they taped me in the butthole. I fell to the ground. The phonies didn't let up. Tasing on my butthole over and over. I was screaming and squirming. My butthole was on fire. The moral of this story is you can't trust the system. Man!
Trying to get our two boys ready to carry them to the golf tournament for practice, right? 12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. We need to get a new screen door, but the screen's broke. So you come in through the screen, but you can't get back out of it. I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat? By that time, the cat turns, tries to get back out. That screen won't go that way. Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs. Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, what's going on? I said, there's a cat in the house. Cat in the house? I said, yeah, there's a cat in the house. So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door. Meow, meow, the cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Meow, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.